Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held at 7 o'clock. Now we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen.
Please take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Now, some may say that I'm really glad for Glenn to be home because I had a lot more work to do. But that's not so. I tell you what, being able to work with Glenn has been just a wonderful, wonderful pleasure for me, and he's a great friend, and we share a lot in common, that we love the Lord, we love His Word, and we love discussing and being challenged by that Word. And as I look at Glenn and his life that he lives, I'm just taken back because he embodies so much of what it means to be a Christian. And so I love Glenn very much and miss him. And Arnold, it's been a while since I've been harassed. It's good to have you home as well. No, I love Arnold too. Our mind functions much differently than we perceive it to function. That when we just share the information of an issue, we fail to make it have the impact that it needs to have, that we want to make. And I want to illustrate that for you this morning by sharing with you a real life situation that happened with a family, that they came to a crisis and they end up being separated. What happened was that the father lost interest in his wife and his children. He got involved with another woman. And one day he walked away from them all. It was very difficult for them. In addition, the wife and Kimberly, the daughter, every day they tried to communicate with him, he either would not answer the phone or he wouldn't stay and talk to him. And it just looked as if he was going to go and do his own thing. And then one day, Kimberly, without having any knowledge or importance or value of a word picture, wrote her father this letter. It came to him in the stack of mail that he read every day at lunch. And when he saw her name on the card, he just thought, well, it's just a card. But he opened the envelope, and this is what he read. He read this letter from his daughter, Kimberly. She says, "Dear Daddy, it's late at night, and I'm sitting in the middle of my bed writing to you. I have wanted to talk to you so many times during the last few weeks, but there never seems to be any time where we're alone. Dad, I realize that you're dating someone else, and I know that you and Mom may never get back together again. And that is terribly hard to accept, especially knowing that you may never come back home and be an everyday dad to me and Brian anymore. At least I want you to know what is going on in our lives. Don't think Mom asked me to do this. She doesn't even know I'm writing this, and neither does Brian. I just want to share with you what I have been thinking. Dad, I feel like our family has been riding in a nice car for a long time. You know, the kind of car that you always want to have as a company car. It's the kind of car that has every extra inside and not a scratch on the outside. However, over the years, the car has developed some problems. Smoking a lot. The wheels wobble a little and the seat covers are ripped. Still a great automobile and it could be even greater with a little work. I know it could run for years. Since we got the car, Brian and I have been in the back seat, while you and Mom have been up front. We really feel secure with you driving and Mom beside you. But last month, Mom was at the wheel. It was nighttime, and we had just turned the corner near our house when suddenly we all looked up and saw another car out of control heading straight for us. Mom tried to swerve out of the way, but the other car smashed into us, and the impact sent us flying off the road and crashing into a lamppost. The thing is, Dad, just before being hit, we could see that you were driving the other car. And we saw something else. Sitting next to you was another woman. It was a terrible accident that we were all rushed to the emergency room. But when we asked where you were, no one knew. We're still not sure where you are, if you are hurt, or if you need help. Mom was really hurt. She was thrown into the steering wheel and broke several ribs. One of them punctured her lungs and almost pierced her heart. When the car wrecked, the back door slammed into Brian. He was covered with cuts from broken glass, and it shattered his arm, which is now in a cast. And that's not the worst. He is still in so much pain and shock that he doesn't want to talk or play with anyone. As for me, I was thrown from the car. I was stuck out in the cold for a long time with my right leg broken. As I lay there, I could not move and did not know what was wrong with Mom and Brian. I was hurting so much myself, I could not help Mom. And there have been times since that night that I wondered if any of us would make it. Even though we're getting a little better, we're still in the hospital. The doctor says I will need a lot of therapy. I know they can help me get better, but I wish it was you that was helping me instead of them. The pain is so bad, but what is even worse is that we all miss you so much. Every day we wait to see if you are going to visit us in the hospital, and every day you don't come. I know it's over, but my heart would explode with joy if somehow I could look up and see you walk into my room. At night, when the hospital is really quiet, they push Brian and me into Mom's room, and we talk about you. We talk about how much we love driving with you and how much we wish you were here with us now. Are you all right? Are you hurting from the wreck? Do you need us like we need you? While Kimberly tried to say to her father, "Why are you doing this and why don't you come home?" it went right over the top of his head. But when he got this note, it created a mental picture that he could not escape from. And every moment he had some time, he saw this wreck, this picture. And that communicated to him what was going on in the life of his daughter and his family. Kimberly and her word picture was the means of bringing this family back together. For she just did not communicate to him. She painted a picture that got to the very core of where this man lived so that he could never be the same again. And he was totally changed by what he heard. No wonder our Lord was the master storyteller. I mean, he had truth that he wanted to deposit into the hearts of his hearers so that they would never forget it. If I were to tell you today that Jesus is opposed to Christians having kind of a verbal faith that never translate into actual Christian living, you wouldn't even write it down. But if I were to tell you the story that Jesus told, you would not be able to quickly forget it. So let's read it together. Chapter 7 of Matthew 24 to 27. Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Now Jesus says that whoever hears these words of mine He said they're like two people who built two houses on two different types of soils. Now in this message, at the end of this great sermon of our Lord, there are three life-changing principles that I don't want us to miss this morning. Here's the first one. Jesus wants us to know that the strength of the foundation determines the quality of life. The strength of the foundation determines the quality of life. He speaks here of two houses built on two different kinds of foundations. Now, dependable contractors know the importance of building on the right foundation. And the taller the building is, the deeper and more massive the foundation. Isn't that right? The Freedom Tower, this being built where the World Trade Towers once stood, is when it's built, supposedly it's going to be 1,800 feet tall nearly. And they've already started working on it. But you know, before they started putting up those beams, what they did? They dug down into the earth. And they poured concrete, reinforced by steel, some 70 feet deep. Without the right foundation, men and women, no matter how impressive the above-the-ground architecture is, the building is worthless. Not only is it worthless, it's dangerous. It's what below the surface that really counts in a building, in a life. And so what Jesus is teaching us here, he says, just like building a house requires the right kind of foundation, building a life is like that too. And he talks about the two different kinds of foundations that we can build on. First of all, he talks about the stability of the rock. The stability of the rock. Now, we are not in doubt as to who the rock is because the New Testament tells us in passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus Christ is pictured as a rock. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, talking about the Israelites moving through the wilderness, it says they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Passages like Psalm 118:22, Luke chapter 20, verse 17, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, talks about, and the stone that the builders, the Jewish leaders, rejected have become the capstone or the chief cornerstone. The rock on which you want to build your life is Jesus Christ Himself. And in fact, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20 talks about this. Talks about having been built on a foundation of the apostles and the prophets. It's a Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. So you want to build your life upon Jesus Christ. The hymn writer was right. He said, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. How firm a foundation. Many hymns have been written about the fact that when you build your life, you build your life upon Jesus Christ, the rock. But Jesus also tells us about another kind of foundation that you can build on. He talks about the instability of the sand. How many of you know that there are people who build their lives on things that are very lacking in stability? There are some people that build their whole lives on relationships and friendships. That's all they do. And then when one of those relationships goes sour, they come unglued. Some people build their whole lives on their kids or their families, and then maybe one day one of the children are taken away or turns against them, and their life is destroyed. That is not the foundation we are to build our lives on. Some people build their lives on fashion, the whatever's new. They go to the latest seminars. They order the power DVDs off the latest info commercial. It's going to help them move forward in life and give them all kinds of success. But all of a sudden something comes along in life that the power DVDs didn't talk about, and they don't know what to do. Some people build their lives upon emotional experiences. And then all of a sudden life deals them a card that they weren't expecting. And that emotional spirit experience is not there to support them. It doesn't give them what they need. Jesus said, oh yes, it is possible to build your life on the sinking sand. The hymn writer was right. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Anything that you build your life on, which is not Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and be obedient to His word, is going to leave you in the lacking and in the lurch down the road. So we have learned that the strength of the foundation is determined by the quality of life. But I want you to notice the second principle, that the storms of life reveal the quality of the foundation. Now notice in these stories that Jesus told, the wise man and the foolish man both built on certain kinds of foundations, and then the storms came. And if you look closely at the text, the storms both had wind, they had rain, and they had floods. There's two things that I know to be true about storms. Number one, storms are inevitable. Everybody faces them. Just like the people in Enterprise last Thursday. Everybody faces a storm. I think it's interesting what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. He said, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. Peter said, when a storm comes, don't be sitting around thinking, oh no, why did this happen? Why me? Why now? Why here? He said, the bottom line is that the storms happen to everyone. In 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul said, yea, though who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You don't get from the cradle to the grave without a storm or a train wreck or something. Storms are a part of life. They are inevitable. But the second thing that I know to be true about storms is they are impartial. Jesus said in Matthew 5:45, He says, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, who makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. When it comes to storms, we're all alike. When a storm comes, God doesn't put a little bubble over the Christian's home so it doesn't get damaged. God doesn't put a bubble around our children so that they never have heartache or difficulty or problems. Problems are a part of life. Say, Paul, what kind of storms are you talking about? I'm talking about loss and bereavement and persecution, trying to stand up and live the way that God wants us to in this perverse world. That's what I'm talking about. Those kind of storms. Sickness. Suffering. But here's the key. Here's the key. I don't want you to miss this. But it's not till the storm comes until you understand what the foundation really is. The storm reveals the quality of the foundation. There was a man that came to town, and he wanted to buy a house. And so he calls a realtor, and the realtor takes him to a subdivision and shows him two houses. And the houses that he showed him both were built by the same builder. They were designed by the same architect. I mean, they look almost exactly alike. And so he's trying to determine which house to build. And they're both beautiful homes. They both meet his needs. They both have the same number of square feet. And so he calls a realtor and he says, hey, he said, can I have the weekend to think this over? During that weekend, there was a severe thunderstorm. Well, Monday morning, he comes with his wife and he shows her the first house. He says, well, look, I want you to see this house. I kind of like this one, but let me show you the other one. They pull up to the second house and there's nothing there but a pile of rubble. And he calls a realtor, and the realtor said, yeah. He said, that house wasn't built on a good foundation, and it didn't survive the storm. Aren't you glad that he waited till the weekend? Aren't you glad that he waited till the storm? Because the storm reveals the quality of the foundation. This morning you may be sailing along in your life, building all the sandcastles that you can imagine, thinking that everything is just cool. But before long, something will come into your life that is bigger than your own human resources, and you'll find out in a big hurry where you've positioned yourself on in life. About 3-4 years ago, someone told me in the church that there was a family that was living in Boonville, Missouri, that they'd become Christians nearly 20 years ago. They went for a year or two and became unfaithful. I called up this lady and I said, ma'am, I said, my name's Paul Owen. I'm the minister at the Boonville Church of Christ. I would really love to come over and visit with you and your husband. She said, listen, she says, when I want you to come to my house, I'll call you. Click. I thought, well, I'm not going to write any books about restoring the erring. I mean, that didn't go very well. By the end of that year, that couple were restored, and they were faithful members of the church, and they still are today. He said, Paul, what made the difference? Well, what made the difference is they had a son who was about to graduate from high school. In 2 weeks, boy, he was talented. He built 2 homes by himself. He had cattle. In the morning, he would feed the cattle at 5. He'd come back home and change, go to school, and then after school, he'd work on these houses. But one morning, he had pushed himself to the limit. One morning, driving back home about 6 o'clock, he went to sleep at the wheel. He rolled his little SUV and had head trauma, terrible neck injuries. In fact, he was in a medically induced coma for some 5 weeks. The doctor said he's going to have to learn how to walk again. He's going to learn how to talk again. You see what happened? There was a storm. And that family discovered that the foundation of which they had built their life upon was very, very lacking. And they made the necessary changes. I want you to look at the text real quickly. Verse 25. The house that was built on the rock, what does it say? Did not fall. But did you notice the little extra words of description that Jesus gave concerning the man who built his house on the sand? It says this in verse 27. And the house fell. And what is the rest of it? And great was its fall. I mean, I'm sure these people had everything. Everything that money could buy. Everything that they wanted. They probably had life on a plate. And when that house fell, they were splitting up the family. There was anger. There was bitterness. Maybe there was addiction to alcohol and drugs, and anxiety overcame them. And all was left was hopelessness and despair and depression. What an incredible mess. The bigger you build your house or life on a bad foundation, the greater its fall will be. And that's one of the things that Jesus Christ is teaching us. Last point this morning is, the secret of the foundation is this, the obedience to Christ's words. This is so prevalent here. Verse 24, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Did you hear the two words? Hears and does. Look in verse 26, there's an alternative. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do. And there, look at verse 21. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And that's almost exactly what James tells us in chapter 1, verse 25. It says that he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, in the Word of God, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in what he does. It seems as though in our generation that we have become experts and verbal faith. It's just kind of going through the motions. So many Christians live their life on the surface. But faith in Christ is revealed in works. And without works, that faith is no faith at all, James 2:26. And I'm here to tell you that faith in our lives should be practical. It should show up in the things that we do, how we live, the values we embrace, the kinds of friends we have, the language that we speak, the people we date, the kind of concern that we have for people around us who are lost, the people we teach. None of those things are different about you than people in the world. And you may need to take a look at the foundation and say, is the foundation genuine in my life? Is it real? Is it built upon Christ? One more thing. Foundation work goes on below the surface where no one sees, no one applauds, no one cheers. But listen, the time that you are willing to spend and studying the Word of God every day, and in your prayer life, and growing your faith, doing the things that Christ has asked you to do, will be time spent. And though no one may cheer you on or pat you on the back, when the storms of life come, you will thank God that you have built a good foundation. Is your foundation built upon Christ this morning? Will it hold? Will it be shaken? Will it keep you held fast in the place that it needs to be when the storm hits? This morning, will you take Jesus Christ? Will you be obedient to His words? In Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah saying, Jonah, arise! And go to Nineveh. Acts chapter 8. The word of the Lord through an angel came to Philip and said, arise! Ananias was told to go to a street called Straight. He said, arise! In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Paul, arise! What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Will you do that today? That if we're going to be obedient to the Lord, that we need to arise and do it now. There was a wealthy man who shared his passion for art collecting with his son. I mean, they had valuable masterpieces by Picasso and Van Gogh that adorned the walls of their family estate. But as winter approached, war engulfed the nation, and the young man went off to serve his country. Only a few short weeks later, the father received word that the son had died. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the upcoming spring with anguish and sadness. But then one day, on the first day of spring, there was a knock on the door. As he walked to the door, he looked at the masterpieces on the wall, which just reminded him that his son wasn't coming home. And he opened the door, and there was a soldier standing there with a large package. And he says, sir, he says, I was a friend of your son. Matter of fact, I was the one he was rescuing when he died. Can I come in for a moment? There was something that I would love to show you. And then he mentioned something about the fact that he was an artist. And he gave the package to the old man. As the paper gave way, it revealed a portrait of the man's son. And though the world would not consider it to be a painting of a genius, it portrayed his son's face in striking detail. And the old man was overcome with emotion, and he hung it above his fireplace, pushing aside millions of dollars worth of art. And there he sat that day, gazing at the new gift that he had been given. Well, it wasn't very long that painting became his most prized possession. Well, later that spring, the man died. I mean, the art world waited with anticipation for the upcoming auction. But according to the will of the old man, the auction would be held on March 31st. The day he received his valuable gift. Well, the day soon arrived, and art collectors from all over the world gathered to bid on the world's most spectacular paintings. dreams would be fulfilled that day. But the auction started with a painting that was not on anyone's museum list, for it was the painting of the Son. And the auctioneer said, hey, he said, who will start the bid? The room fell silent. He said, will anyone start the bid with $100? No one. And finally, someone spoke up and says, that's just the painting of the Son. Who cares? Let's get on to the good stuff. He said, no. He said, no, we must start with this painting first. Now, who will take the Son? And one old man, a neighbor, he said, I'll offer $10. It's all I have. He says, I knew the boy and I loved him. So the auctioneer said, going once, going twice, gone. And the gavel fell. Cheers filled the room. People said, now we can get on to the real treasures. The auctioneer looked at the room full of people and he announced that the auction was over. The people were stunned. They said, what do you mean? We didn't come here for a painting of a man's Son. There are millions of dollars worth of art to be won here today. The auctioneer said, it's simple. He said this. He said, by the will of the Father, that whoever takes the Son gets it all. That puts our life in perspective, doesn't it? Maybe sit down this week and read Ephesians chapter 1 through 3 and discover that all the spiritual blessings are found in Christ. Do you have Him today? Why would you want to miss it? Things like adoption, citizenship, forgiveness, redemption. Will you come to Him today, right now, as we stand and as we sing?
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.